Welcome to the Path and Next podcast, a podcast created and hosted by students and faculty of the Premier Academy of Fine Arts of North Texas. I am your host, Kira Carter, and our guest speaker, Claire Wetmore. Today, we will be talking about personal finance. Born and raised in Vermont, Claire went to the Advanced Welding Institute for structural welding and struck out on her own when she was 23 years old. She never dreamed she would end up in financial services, but she wholeheartedly believes everyone should know how money works, and she's grateful for the opportunity to share her knowledge with others. Her passion is to help people take back control over their time and gain independence and help them reach their potential through financial education. Today, she is going over a few core concepts she teaches when she sits down with families, like the rule of 72, and the different kinds of taxable investments there are. Some of the main financial struggles she sees families deal with. Welcome, Claire.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I can't believe somebody's actually listening to my bio. I spent so many times in the car talking about that for the future, so it's quite cool to be here.
We're so glad that you're with us. Let's start with taxable investments and different types of tax. What are some of the concepts you talk about with families when it comes to tax?
First, there are three different types. So, I mean, there's a lot of different types of ways that people tax you, government, but there's tax-free, tax now, and tax later. So we like to keep things as tax-free as possible. Tax now, that's your checking account, stocks, money market, etc. We pay two types of taxes in those accounts. On our income and wages, we pay income taxes. And then when we save on the money and it grows, then we pay on capital gains tax for that. So like the growth accounts and you get extra investments, they tax you on all of that. And then tax later, that's like a 401k or an IRA. You defer the taxes till later. And that's what a lot of folks don't know, because a lot of job offers 401ks. So you have all that money accumulating. It takes out of your paycheck. You don't pay money taxes on that yet, but when you go to take it out, you get taxed on all of it.
So it's like postponing and adding to a different thing.
Yes. So say you have $500,000 in a 401k and you go to take it out at 65. Where do you see taxes going, up or down?
Down. Right. No, wait. Up. Taxes. I thought you were talking about money. I was like,
we don't know for sure, because obviously we're not future tellers, but either way, I don't want to gamble with that kind of bigger pool of money.
So it's like gambling, basically.
Why would you pay more money on taxes on a bigger amount than less right now? You know, say you have a $700 paycheck, you pay taxes on $700, whereas at 65, you pay taxes on $500,000.
Especially with your paycheck, like, you don't want taxes to have most of your paycheck, because you still got to get food and shelter and all the house taxes and car taxes and all the other taxes.
There's a lot. So then there's tax advantage, which we like to call tax never for on your retirement. Basically, we pay taxes up front, so like on that paycheck. And when we put it in a type of account like that, in an IUL, so an Index Universal Life or a Roth IRA, individual retirement account, those gains and the withdrawals are completely tax-free.
Okay. And that's for retirement?
Mm-hmm. So we try to help people understand the different types of taxes and what they are and how much actually is coming out of their accounts.
That's really good, because that really helps with a lot of people who are worried about tax. So what is the rule of 72?
The rule of 72 is really fun, actually. Einstein called it the eighth wonder of the world.
Oh, that's really interesting.
So basically, the rule of 72 states that if you divide 72 by an annual rate of return, you can calculate approximately how many years it takes for your income to double. When you put your money in a savings account, they borrow your money. Mm-hmm. It's not just there in cash and they keep it in separate accounts for you. Borrow it.
Doesn't it add a little more with the bank?
Yes. So that's the 1% rate of return. A lot of banks give you 1%. Then there's high interest rate accounts where they give maybe like 4 or 5%. So let's say that you have it in a bank account in a savings. So if you have it in a 1% rate of back, it's going to take 72 years for that money to double. Say you have $10,000 in a bank and you're 29, my age.
You look good for your age.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So after 72 years, you're going to be 101 by the time there's 20K in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So we try to teach people how to get their money in a higher rate of return where it's not taxed.
Not till you're like
72.
Yeah. That's really cool. So what are the main financial struggles you see families dealing with when you do consultations?
That's a big question. We see a lot of families that go through debt right now. They have student loans, credit cards, especially if they have children. You know, kids are expensive. You're expensive.
Oh, yeah. Very expensive.
So a lot of debt, and it's kind of soul crushing, honestly, because that compounding interest I was telling you about, so that works both ways. So if you take out a loan, the bank charges a lot of money for you to borrow their money.
Like student loans?
Yep. Student loans, credit cards. Do you know anything about credit cards?
I know it keeps your credit. That's about all I know.
So when you have a credit card, you're basically borrowing money, and they say you can have $500 limit, or, you know, and that grows as you build credit. A lot of times that comes with a catch. So you have 20% instead of 1%. So like when they borrow your money, when you put it into account, they give you, you know, 1 to 5% back for taking your money. But when you borrow theirs, it's a lot higher. It takes 2 years to double if you have credit card debt versus like 72. So that's how people don't ever get out of debt, because they keep paying on it, but they pay the minimum, and then it keeps building interest.
So it's kind of like biblical times when Matthew, how he was a tax collector, but not really.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tax collecting, kind of, in a way.
It's changed a lot, but yeah. Basically the same concept. So a lot of debt, just a lot of people were never taught how to budget, so that's a hard one. Personally, when I lived in Kentucky, I made $1,000 a week welding, and I had 3 horses, and all my money was just gone, because I didn't know how to budget. I didn't know how to put money in savings. I didn't know what an emergency fund was. Nobody ever taught me that.
What is an emergency fund?
So an emergency fund is basically liquid cash in the bank, savings, and you have that in case your car breaks, in case the water in your house breaks, in case you lose your job. So we try to say 3 to 6 months of your income saved. We do say put it in a bank so it's liquid and you can withdraw it whenever you need to. The problem is a lot of people don't have enough money to cover a $400 expense.
Especially with all the prices of everything today.
Paycheck to paycheck is a lot of the ways people live. It's scary because if you lose your job, like, I mean, the pandemic, 2020 was a crazy year when the government basically tells you that you're no longer important and you can't go to work and you can't get a paycheck. What do?
You're just stuck.
Yeah. So my goal in life is basically just to make sure that people have back control of their life. They have the freedom to make choices. I mean, I've always heard that money is the root of all evil, and money doesn't buy happiness, and money isn't everything, and I understand that. But money is very important as a social form of trade. It's a tool.
Yeah, especially in today's government. It's very hard, very difficult with everything that's going on. Some additional questions. What is a good plan to start now for people around my age to save money?
That's a good one. My suggestion would be to sit with a financial professional and learn how to make a budget. Whether you have a job or you have, what is it called when parents give you money? For working for them.
Allowance?
Allowance. There you go. It's been a long time since I've had an allowance.
I had to think about it. I was like, because how my parents set it up, we have like a card where they can put a certain amount in.
And every family does it different, so yeah. It just depends. But so do you have a job?
I don't have a job yet. I'm looking for a job because she's like, it's about that time you get a job. So I've been kind of looking, and I've been thinking about having a job for... and separating it into spending and saving, because that's definitely important, because you gotta save up for... For me, I want to save up for, like, future things. When I'm older, I'll have my spouse and future kids to look forward to, and how that's gonna affect them if I'm already in debt, and with taxes, future taxes, like, I want a house, a car, you know? Like, these things that are already kind of affecting me because adult world.
Well, this is a hard time because you're transitioning from being told what to do, mm-hmm. and then you're kicked out on your own.
Yeah.
And I mean, not maybe not physically, but, but you're an adult. You have to know these things. So this is a very, very important time to learn.
And nobody really teaches taxes and things. Right. I don't even know how taxes or how most things build up, which is why it's good that I have communication with you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. And I love this place. I'm so excited I got to meet you guys because this is so important.
Definitely. There's a lot of things that it impacts Christian-wise because money's important, but he's the one that takes care of us. He's the one that set up anyway.
And I do believe like that you give it to God, but you take action.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is up to you.
Yeah,
to
make it is because he gives us free will. Yeah. Next question. What is one suggestion you have about how we protect our money?
A budget is a good one. A budget is very good, so you know what's coming in and going out. And then start now with an emergency fund. Make sure that you have backup, because once you get out on your own, especially if you want to be an entrepreneur, it's not always going to be a physical income. Some months you're going to be struggling and you're not going to really know how you're going to make it work. Being an entrepreneur is probably one of the hardest jobs in the world, and I wouldn't trade it for a world, because it's incredible to make an impact on lives, but it's also you're on your own. So definitely having money saved in the bank, and then also like just figuring out where you can put your money so it grows and is tax-free, because you don't want anybody else to take it. You want to protect that from so many different ways that people can take it. And you don't even know. At 18, you can start investing in accounts that will protect your money as well as keep it tax-free. So that's a good one to like know about right now. And we can look into that later date. That's a lot to go into for a podcast, but
yes. We don't want the taxes.
Yes, no taxes if we don't have to.
Little as possible. What do you think about the inflation rising in today's world? It's a tough subject.
Yeah. I think that inflation can't go anywhere but up, because we're printing money and there's more and more and more in the market, and the U.S. is very in debt. I think that having your money in a vessel that protects, keeps it tax-free and grows it, because you have to beat inflation. Because if you plan for retirement right now and you say, I'll probably need $1 million to live without income, the life that I want to. How old are you?
I'm 17.
17? Okay. Yeah. So say you wanted to retire at 65. You're 17. So you have 48 years to save for retirement.
That's a lot of years.
It is, but it goes fast. In 48 years, you go to take out the money, inflation's going to be so much higher, you're going to probably need closer to $2 million.
It's already higher than when my parents, they got their house, I don't know how much. Way less than back in the day. It's like when you're watching an old movie and they're like, oh yeah, 10 cents, so uh-huh. much. And we're like, 10 cents? Can it go back to being 10 cents?
Gas was 10 cents. Well, the thing is, though, like their wages matched. They only made like $7 an hour if they were lucky. It kind of evened out, but yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they say that inflation's going to make everyone a millionaire someday, so I'd like to be a millionaire before that hits.
Does it matter how old you have to be to start a plan?
Absolutely not. It does not matter how old you are.
Infant. Boom. Millionaire made.
They do. They have. They do. Parents can start programs for their children as soon as they're born. As soon as they have a social security number.
That is so fascinating.
If your parents had started one when you were a baby, you could be a millionaire by 18.
Yeah. Man, sign them up already. Sign them up.
But there's a lot of different ways to do that. I think the sooner you start,
the better.
And I don't think that anybody's too young to start. 18, hit it. I think that a lot of people are not worried about their future at 18 to 25-ish. But once you hit 25, and if you didn't know about that, like any of this, like budgeting or anything, we see a lot of people who are in trouble because of that. You know, they have a lot of debt. They have a lot of problems. They live paycheck to paycheck, and that's their mindset. A lot of this is just changing your mindset to know that you have the power to create your future. I think that's one of my favorite things about this, is that it's not just finances. It's giving you the knowledge that you have the power to believe in yourself and you can change your future. Mm-hmm. And you can do whatever you want in life. There's no limit. And once you realize that, go conquer the world.
You're definitely going to have challenges, though.
Oh, absolutely.
In today's world.
There's always ups and downs. And I think that having no problems in life would be pretty boring.
It's like when life gets too good, you're like, what's going on, God? There's definitely going to be like some storm around here soon or something.
But I do think that whatever you're going through is preparing you for your next best season. We were talking a little bit before about the problems that you're going through. Those are lessons if you choose to learn them. I don't believe in no-win scenarios. I either win or I learn. It prepares you for the next chapter.
Yeah. I just stick close to God and I'm like, you know where I'm gonna go, so I'm gonna stay close to you. What kind of impact do you want on the world? You talked a little bit about this.
Okay, I'm gonna get emotional here. I really just want to make an impact on every single life that I touch. Leave it a little bit better than it was, because I didn't have a great life growing up. I leaned on friends who weren't great. I leaned on alcohol. I leaned on a lot of solutions and self-medications that weren't great. But growing up in Vermont, really all you do is go mudding and you drink. There's not much to do up there. But I just want to make sure that people have the tools that they need to make a difference in the world and believe in themselves, because you can do anything. We only get one life. But it's short. I have this poster on my wall at my house, and it's every week, every year for the next 80 years. Every Friday, I mark a tick off. I fill it in. And it kind of scares me. But it reminds me that life is short, and you're not going to get it back. Every day matters. And you can make an impact on every single person you meet. It's just, you do make an impact. But is it going to be a good one or a bad one? And it's like, you make a difference on every single person you meet at school. Even me, like, you taught me some stuff today. It's just having the knowledge that you have the power already inside you.
It's very hard sometimes, though, because some people don't really care on getting help.
Yes, and you can't help everybody, but you can be there for everybody.
Yes.
You know?
That definitely comes with having such a big heart. I think that's why we connect in such a way. Because I always try to help the best I can, and sometimes I get trampled over, but I get right back up.
It's definitely having boundaries when you learn that. You can have the biggest heart in the world, but you have to have boundaries to keep yourself safe as well, because some people will try to take advantage of you. Learn to say no. Be happy about it. No is my favorite word. Yes. Like, no, I can't do this right now, or no, I can't be there for you when you're acting like this. But if you want help, I'm here, and that's all you can do.
Thank you for teaching us about financial health today. For our listeners, how can they reach or find you? Because they need you.
I love you guys. You're the best. My Instagram is catching.dreams.rfm, and we'll leave my number in the show notes if anyone wants to call or text. I've got Facebook. It's Claire Wetmore.
Awesome. And listeners, we will also have the information in the episode description as well. That's all we have for today. Thank you, Claire, for joining us today and teaching us about personal finance on PaphNX Podcast. We'll see y'all next time.